tie together. You can get it done. You can get it done. What's more, you gotta get it done.
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam, all right? Let's go.
Want a piece of that championship? Put it in here.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Welcome into Hour 2 of Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Long & Foster Baker Team Hotline, 540-639-4900, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
Sarah Spell without the H was getting bored. Not a PV amp in 1984. While Zach without a C tried out some new guitars. Playing Sarah with no H's favorite song. Na 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 la da da. La da 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 la da da. Zach and Sarah. And Sarah would have spells where she lost time. She saw the future, she heard voices from inside. The kind of voices she would soon learn to deny. Because at home they got her smacked. La 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 la.
All right, welcome back. It's hour number two.
Zach and Sarah.
Watching a little bit of one of my favorite artists, Ben Folds, live, Zach and Sarah. If you do not know the Ben Folds catalog, please, for the love of everything that's holy, introduce yourself. 639-4900 is the Baker Team hotline. Text line 744-2990, Rick at New River Radio. Hope you're doing okay wherever you might be. The draft that begins tonight, round one. Back-to-back days, Wayne and Delva has checked in. See, you had a good time yesterday, didn't you, Wayne? Asking if I'll be watching the draft. You know, I won't necessarily I won't watch it. Like, I'll keep up with it, but I won't be sitting there like, oh, got to watch every pick. I will be keeping up with, like, if I get some kind of information come across, because they get all the automatic updates, anything the Broncos are doing. Like most people on their phones, you probably have your favorite team, your tech fan, right? You know what's going on with tech scores and all that. I will get an update like, oh, the Broncos have moved up to, then I'll go see what they're doing. But no, I don't care to watch all the picks, you know, until some drama happens, then maybe I will. But, just not going to be glued to it. Not going to buy all the hyperbole. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot. But, we will, you know, we'll keep up with it. We'll keep up with it. I'm sitting here trying to think of it. I'll tell you this. If we get to the point to where we have all these trades going on, Wayne, then I'll probably be like, okay, now I've got to get into this. Now I've got to start getting into this. Then, you know, maybe. Just maybe. Just maybe. By the way, Wayne, now that I know you're listening, what's the name of that? I don't know. There's a restaurant. It's like a brewery down there. I've been down there many times. But I can't think of the name of it. Not many times. I've been in there a few times. You live in Daleville. Let me know. What's it called? Anyway, text me back, boy. Let me know. Rick, know you're a Broncos fan, just like I'm a huge Eagles fan. What don't you want your team to do? What I don't want them to do is trade up. That will make me angry. If you trade back, that's fine. Wayne from Ohio, not happy with Wayne from Daleville. here you go. Wayne from Daleville. Town Center Tap House. That's the one you have to be talking about. It's by far the most popular. There's also a Three Little Pigs barbecue. Town Center, the Tap House. That's it. That's it. Thank you so much, Wayne in Daleville. Yes, the Tap House. My feeble brain could not come up with that phrase, Tap House, but that's it. Ding, 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 ding. That's it. Are the Battling Waynes? I mean, plus, we've got Wayne from Hillsville. I haven't heard from him in a while. Is this going to be like one of the new Godzilla movies? It's going to be like Kong versus Godzilla versus Megalon or the mechanical Godzilla? By the way, I'm very disappointed to hear that the Kong Godzilla, you know, buddy movie is really bad. So Godzilla spent a lot of time filming in the off season. Godzilla Minus One, critically praised. It won an Academy Award for effects. It did so well at the box office. And then this other one with the whole Kong Godzilla, apparently it's really bad, and it's really disappointing to hear that. Very disappointed. Sounds like to me for Godzilla it was just a cash grab. I mean, I don't want to draw his ire or anything. But yeah, I don't want the Broncos to trade up. I think that would be a mistake. I don't think any of these guys, after you get by the first two, are worth trading up for. Again, it'll be up to Sean Payton. George Payton, the GM's got to just feel like, you know, extra baggage there tonight. I don't know how he has a job, to be honest, after the way the Wilson trade turned out. But that's what I don't want him to do. Staying pat, whatever, that's fine. Trading back would be my preference, and you can grab a quarterback later. Get a second-round pick, maybe an extra third. Somebody who wants to move up 5, 6, 7 spots to your spot at 12, some player they've really identified they want, then I would want that. But let's not try to give up draft capital to move up to get one of these guys. That's what I don't want. That is what I don't want. So that happens. Oof. That would make me angry. Because I don't think any of these guys are like, oh, yeah, that's going to change the franchise around. But then again, I have to trust Sean Payton. But they don't really have the draft capital without a second-round pick to move up without sacrificing next year's draft. Right? That's what I don't want them to do. This is funny. Tim writes in, Rick, which would you do less first? In other words, which of these two choices? Spend money to go see a Dave Matthews concert or spend money to get Mel Kiper's final ESPN Plus draft? That's right. They ask you to buy for that information. Why would anybody spend money on information from ESPN first and foremost? Wow. Well, of those two choices, I guess I would probably go ahead and buy the draft info because at least that's a lot less hit on my wallet and my ears aren't ruined forever. You'd be paying a lot more to go see Dave Matthews and then you'd have to listen to that music. So I guess of the lesser of the two evils, to take the immediate hit, what is it, $10 to buy that draft information? You think there are people that, I guess they are. I guess people, we got to find out what Mel Kiper's final draft was. You think people actually take the time to subscribe and buy their draft? They've released like 10 mock drafts. You think people are actually buying that? Can you imagine buying that? I mean, we had people that, remember when they announced they were going to do this new channel and this new streaming service that still hasn't been approved, that just kind of disappeared? Remember, it was going to be ESPN and Fox. Put it all one-stop shopping, and they were going to charge this amount. Many of you are like, there's no way I'm paying that, much less pay whatever it is to be just to get draft info from. No. No, I would never do that. Anytime you release a mock draft, you should just, and you're one of these, just put it up for free. And if people want to read it just to have fun with it, then that's fine. But don't, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Just, plus, if you wait, they always release his final draft like an hour or two before, so you can see it then, if you really have to see it. But no, that's not something that appeals to me at all. Appeals to me at all. Wayne from Ohio. Which would you do first, wear a black Radford jersey while announcing a game or eat an Impossible Burger on a date? Well, I'm telling you, if I'm taking the date to eat an Impossible Burger, she's probably going to walk out on me. Hey, yeah, listen, I see someone I knew at the bar. And she's just sitting at the bar waiting for somebody else to talk to her. You go ahead and enjoy that Impossible Burger. I will proudly say that Radford University's administration has been wise enough to shoot down any black jersey requests. It is met with a resounding no. Thank you. Some sanity. Some sanity has kicked in. I did, by the way, full disclosure here. My daughter, a few years ago, she was into the whole vegetarian thing. She has since come around to where she's like, Dad, why did you, she gives herself a heart. She'll say, Dad, why'd you ever let me stop eating meat? She goes, did you know that meat's really good? Yeah. Yeah. You were raised on it. Yeah, I do. And I remember one time she asked, and we did, we got an Impossible Burger together. I did that for her. Dad, you know, your firstborn, especially when it's a daughter, you're going to do things probably normally you wouldn't think about. That was one of them. And I did eat an Impossible Burger with her. And, you know, I survived. But I'll never do it again. So I've kind of done half of that already, Wayne. But Radford has said no, thankfully, to the whole black jersey. The only thing we've done is the New River City jersey that has the actual city of Radford colors in it that we did this past year. That was the first thing we've really done as an alternate jersey, if you will. But no black in Radford's immediate future. I hope that continues to hold. I hope that continues to be the case. And I'll remember from the Impossible Burger was remembering how hungry I was after. Like, it didn't really taste like much of anything. So, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, my daughter stopped eating meat for several years. She was basically a vegetarian, a vegan, and she found out that she wasn't getting enough iron, wasn't getting enough protein. She didn't feel good, and this is a true story. She would tell you the same thing if she came on the air. She would say, hey, now my iron's up, my protein levels are up, I feel better all the time. Yeah, because you're eating fish and chicken and pork and beef. Imagine how that works. Sometimes you just have to let the kids fly away and let them learn for themselves. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back 21 minutes past the hour. Andy Bitter comes up. He's been looking at the Tech roster, and we're going to get into all that with him. What did he discover as he took a deeper dive? Dwight Vick as well coming up. Hour three today. We're back after this. Sounds cool to be called a chief meteorologist, doesn't it? Like, isn't that a cool title? What do you do? I'm a chief meteorologist. Huh. Okay. All right. 639-4900-744-2990. Draft. First round is tonight. It will rate very highly. What's it going up against? Let's see here. What do we have tonight? NBA. It'll be a bad night for the NBA. Cavaliers, Magic, Knicks, 76ers. The Nuggets, Lakers game is the late game. That one will probably rate. I can't wait to see the ratings between the draft and those two early games in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. Where is the draft this year? I don't even know. Where is the 2024 NFL draft? Let me look that up. Does anybody know? This is how little I've actually paid to it, by the way. It's in Detroit. It's in Detroit. Okay. That's not very exciting. It's in Detroit. The draft tonight in Detroit. Okay. Whatever. Round one tonight, in case you forget, rounds two and three on Friday, and then Saturday is three through seven. And then we'll I'll assess this next week. David Smith next week, going to be in studio for the entire next Tuesday, the entire third hour. We have Donnie Lynn coming up, the new head basketball coach at Mount St. Mary's. Brent Pry coming up. Not sure if that'll be next week or the week after, but we're on the schedule. Tyler Bowen. We got a lot of folks coming up. Matt Roan, new AD down at JMU. Interesting stuff coming up for you here on the program here in the near future. So that'll be the ratings vibe tonight, and it'll rate very well. People will get very excited. I guess as I've gotten a little older, I'm not nearly as concerned with things like this, right? My team's been bad. Broncos won the Super Bowl in 2015. They didn't have a bad year the next year. They went 9-7, just missed out on the playoffs on the last week. And then they haven't been good since. So I don't really – nothing has worked. The process has been terrible. So now let's just let it all play out. When they start doing well again, then they hand us these crappy uniforms that they unveiled on Monday. Just don't get as heavily invested into it as I used to. We talked about this a long time ago, right? The older you get, how does your fanship change? How does it adjust? Right? I'm kind of in that mode now. All right. Andy Bitter, Tech Sideline, joined us. He looked at all the players on offense and defense. What was his takeaway? We'll find out coming up next.
Sweet chocolate, chocolate malt, candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man.
Who can take a sunrise?
Coming up, it is the top of the hour here on this. Well, it looks like it's shaping up to be a really, really nice Thursday. Sun is shining. Temperatures are going to be a little warmer today, so that is always good stuff. Dwight Bitt comes up in about an hour. Text line's always open for you at 744-2990. Joining us now on the program, he's a senior staff writer at Tech Sideline, Andy Bitter. AB, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. And my goodness, you did a great job. You broke down all the players that were there in the spring on scholarship, the offense and the defense. What was some of the things you took away first from the offensive side once you did a little deeper dive to those guys?
Yeah, I think you get to the receivers and you get five or six deep and you're like, man, I'm still writing about guys who are going to probably contribute on this team. You don't get that a whole lot, especially at Virginia Tech, to have that many quality receivers. Then you get to the very end and it's two pretty highly regarded freshmen that, you know, I'm looking at and going, are they going to play this year? I can't imagine they would play. In the past, they'd be rushing them out to the field as quickly as possible because they would just need to. So I think the depth is really what stood out with me at a couple spots. You know, receiver, I think defensive end, defensive tackle now with these guys that they brought in. They get this set up pretty well, maybe not quite as deep as receiver. But there's a couple spots you look at and you go, you know, top to bottom, this roster looks a lot different and a lot better than it did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I know one thing you mentioned, it was a great point. I think it was last week or the week before we were talking about it, how, you know, last year on that offensive line, and I've gotten questions for you, fans, wanting to know your take, but I think it was you were saying, hey, look, they had five. They were hoping to maybe find six. This year they felt pretty good about eight or nine, right? So that depth had increased just in terms of, you know, the bodies, maybe some guys they can count on a little better this year.
Yeah, that pretty good, I feel like, is a relative term there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put in the class of, you know, 2019, 2020, when they had basically two lines of, I mean, you know, Doug Nestor, Brian Hudson were your backups at one point in the second team, the second wave of players coming through that you're like, oh, man, this is a stacked offensive line room. That was unusual. I think they have some decent options going 7-8 deep right now. I still think there's some work to be done on the offensive line in terms of development and feeling comfortable with guys and you know, everybody fitting the mindset there, but certainly in better shape than they were at this time a year ago.
Behind Bashaul Tootin and Malachi, what are you looking at? People ask about the younger depth behind the running backs. Is that something that you feel good about? I'm sure they feel pretty good about.
You know, watching Jeremiah Coney run in the spring game, he looked pretty solid to me. I realize there's more to playing running back than, you know, just running the ball. You have to block. You have to do all sorts of other things there. But, you know, he looked like he could handle the running part of the game. The way the coaches have talked about him, I think they're pretty excited about him in that spot. You know, he gets pretty inexperienced after that. You know, Tyler Mason just arrived as a true freshman. You know, could P.J. Priolu fit in that spot somehow? I mean, he looked fast in the spring game. I don't know. We're talking about walk-on running back here, so I don't know exactly how much of an impact he can have.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, perhaps this is why they've reached out to some transfers that are out there. You know, I know Ramon Brown, his name is sort of still lingering. I think it might be a deal where academically you'd have to get some stuff in order before he could possibly transfer to a place like here. So I don't know. I feel like they might add a running back going into a season with four. it's fine. I think you'd probably like five scholarship guys at that spot, ideally. But, you know, there's some other positions of need as well that they're probably trying to address.
Well, and obviously backup quarterback, as you mentioned last week, comes into play. And we don't know what it takes now to try to find a guy who wants to commit to that and just know he's, you know, one snap away from playing. But also you're not coming here to be the guy. Have you heard any rumblings in that department, a sense of urgency, or, you know, if something happened and Pop Watson had to be thrown in there? I mean, how do you think the staff feels about all that right now?
I think they like the developments of Pop Watson. It's just, you know, if Drones gets hurt, then you're on a redshirt freshman as your starter, and your backup at that point would be a true freshman. It's just not a lot of guys. you know, what if another injury happens at that point? I mean, you're really out there at that point. So I think just having another body that's, you know, been through some college practices before would be comforting for that group. And again, that's a tough needle to thread because you're trying to find somebody that you're like, well, you're not going to be the starter. You know that coming into the season. You're already way behind in the competition to be the backup in terms of understanding the system and things like that. So, you know, they'd have to find the right person to come in with the mentality that wouldn't upset the room, wouldn't rock the boat necessarily, wouldn't have any, you know, illusions about where their role would be on this team. And, you know, when quarterbacks are transferring, typically they transfer because they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't really know what the market is. I'm sure they could find somebody, but is it going to be somebody that's going to be a real value add to the team? I don't know if you're talking about some great addition here. It might just be an addition just to find some depth there.
Did the quick landing spot for Whitkey, did that surprise you, especially at a place like Minnesota in the Big Ten?
Yeah, a little surprising to see him get a Power 4 landing spot so quickly. You know, we're talking about somebody who's still a very, you know, unfinished product in terms of where he was behind in the second quarterback spot, I think, by the end there. You know, Brett Pryde said that had gone back and forth in the spring, but I think by the end, then you saw in the spring game, you know, it looked like Pop Watson's deal there with the second team. So to see him go so quickly somewhere, I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised because quarterbacks are always in demand, and he's still pretty young in his career that they're not going on, you know, college production necessarily. They're still going on, you know, potential and, you know, what he was as a recruit. So, you know, getting a spot like that, I think that's probably about the best landing spot I think he could have hoped for in terms of, you know, that quickly going to a Power 4 school, Big Ten school, at that. You know, Minnesota's not like a terrible program. They've gone to bowl games quite a bit here under P.J. Fleck. They've had some success in that offense.
Yeah, and,
you look at some of the other quarterbacks that have left here, and, you know, Braxton Burmeister goes to San Diego State, becomes a wide receiver at some point. Quincy Patterson goes to North Dakota State and then to Temple after that, never really played. Hendon Hooker obviously going to Tennessee and becoming what he became was incredible, but typically these guys leave here and it's not like a huge step up. And going to Minnesota, I don't feel like it's a huge step down necessarily. It might be a lateral move when you look at how the programs have fared these last couple of years.
Yeah, I saw he's one of three scholarship quarterbacks, and you were just talking about the Tech situation. I mean, for Minnesota, that has to feel pretty good, right? A younger guy like that who might just say, okay, I'm going to get my chance here, if not this year, maybe next year. So feels like it was just a safe ad for them. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know much about Minnesota's quarterback situation, but you know what? If it doesn't work out, they'll just reset it and do this all again next season.
Sure.
That's how it works now.
Senior staff writer for Tech Sideline, Andy Bitter, joining us on the program. Nothing shocking has happened in or out of the portal right now, right? Some guys that were probably encouraged to head out. I get a lot of questions. It's probably unfair to ask. I always try to respond to them. Well, he doesn't know, but people want to know if you have some kind of time frame and when Tech might start adding some players out of this portal before May the 1st. I think that's an impossible thing to ask. We don't know, but still, I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't have to add them before May 1st.
Right.
That's just when guys can go in.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, you're still sort of weighing your options. These guys don't make instantaneous decisions. It might be a while until they actually add people. I think when I look at this transfer portal thing, the thing that's interesting to me is that all five of the guys that have left were from the 2023 signing class. I didn't expect that. These guys just signed a year ago.
Yeah.
And they were signed by this staff. And it just seems like it's a very quick amount of time. I don't know if every situation was, you know, all this player's decision to leave, or if the players, the coaches kind of encouraged them to look elsewhere. If they're like, well, we're not making enough traction here on the depth chart to make progress. But that seems very quick. To either be giving up on guys, or for guys to be like, I'm out of here like that. So I think when you see them in school for a couple of years, you go, okay, and it doesn't feel like it's working out, then it feels like it's best for all parties. With these guys, after 1 year, it's like, man, this process is quick. If you're not making a move up the depth charts, it might be over before it really gets started. And that's weird for some of these spots, especially like an offensive lineman, where it's like, well, they have to add size for 1 year. So do you really know what you have after a year? Maybe, maybe not, but it feels like this whole process is being accelerated now.
Yeah, that's a great point, because these are guys that the staff went out and identified and scouted and brought them in, and now it's all from that same class. You wonder, right? You wonder now if they just realize that the talent level has gotten to a certain point, or if those guys just saw the writing on the wall. You're right, though. That's a good point. It's a little strange to see it happen all from this staff that brought all these guys in.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know what to make of it. Honestly, you know, this is sort of what roster management is these days. And, you know, they were over the scholarship limit. They had to get under it. And they do want to try to add some pieces here. So this is when we get back to the whole idea of contracts. And, you know, coaches want some stability and some control over these players, whether they can up and leave after a year. If I'm players, you know, that's what coaches would have to give up, is there's some stability the other way. That they can't just get cut right away if they're not making the progress, or they can't get encouraged to be pushed out the door after a year. Like, you hear about these signing days. Ah, this is family, and this is a decision, educational decision. It's like, well, is it? If it's after a year and these guys are already moving on. So, I mean, the whole system is kind of a mess, and I think both sides need to give a little bit to get into a situation of more stability for both sides, frankly.
Travis, listening in Roanoke, writes in, can you ask Andy, after looking at the defensive depth, which position does he feel the best about? What's the best depth position on the defensive side of the ball for the Hokies?
Best depth position?
Yeah, that you felt good about.
I think it's just defensive line, I would say. If you ask me which position I feel best about, I'd say cornerback, but maybe not depth-wise, because there is a pretty stark difference after you get past those top two guys in corner.
Right.
But defensive line, I feel like they did a really good job in the portal with their defensive tackles. I really like their end at the top of the list there. You know, maybe feel a little bit less great about that, depending on the severity of C.J. McCray's injury. You know, the possibility, which, you know, we saw him after the spring game in his boot and being carted off the field. That's not a great sign.
Right.
So I don't know exactly where that is, but, you know, even if he's out, guys like Keyshawn Burgos and Jordan McDonald, and, you know, I think Jason Abbey has some potential there beyond them to contribute this year. I think there's just a lot of dudes in that defensive line room. That's how they like it. They like to rotate guys in and keep guys fresh. And, you know, as a group, they were pretty relentless last year getting after the quarterback, and I'd expect it to be the same this year.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on it. And like you said, I think it's a great point to remind listeners that you don't have to bring in people before May. I think that's a misperception. Like you said, they can do it all summer, right? I mean, it's just guys can't go in after May the 1st. That's the biggest distinction there with the portal.
Yeah, and I think graduate transfers can go in anytime.
Right.
I think that's still the rule. But, yeah, it's just the deadline to go in, not necessarily the deadline to come out.
All right, let me ask you now, the draft's coming up, your Vikings, they need a quarterback. Who would you like? Who would you like to see them take? Do you want to see them trade up, trade down, stay pat? Who do you like?
I mean, they got to trade up. They're not going to get a quarterback that they like at 11 or wherever they are. I don't know. I look at the group and...
I know.
You know, it's you're playing roulette with these quarterbacks at the top of the list. There's something about Drake May, and he's got a connection to Josh McCown, who's on the staff now, I believe. But I just don't think they have enough of the ammunition to get up that high to take him. I think the top three are just going to pick quarterbacks because they need quarterbacks, just like everybody else in the league. So,
right.
You know, I'm looking at him like, they're going to give up all this draft capital to go up six or seven spots to take J.J. McCarthy? Like, is that worth it? I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's worth it to me, but I do have faith that whatever the Vikings do, they're going to screw it up somehow. I mean, this is the franchise that skipped its pick one year.
True.
It just, like, didn't turn the name in, and then two other teams came up and did it. You know, this is the franchise that botched the post-Randy Moss thing by taking some South Carolina receiver that I think had, like, five career catches. I mean, he was just awful. You know, this is the franchise that took Christian Ponder in the first round.
Ooh.
Yeah. But that was one that just made me, like, audibly just like, all right, come on. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I don't do that often, but that was one where I was just left completely flabbergasted by their pick. So, yeah. You know, new regime, new coaches, but, man, just same old franchise. So I don't have a lot of faith in them doing the right thing, but I will be hoping that they do.
Agreed. Sounds like me as a Broncos fan. I'm with you. Yeah, and I get cracked up too, Andy. They talk about the – you know, the status of these quarterbacks, right? Their draft stock is rising, or their draft stock is falling. Nobody's played a game since the end of the college football season, but boy, oh boy, all of a sudden guys are shooting up and down board. It's just funny to see these guys fall over themselves talking about the quarterbacks.
Well, what's the hit rate on quarterbacks in the first round? Like 40%?
46%, yes, 46%.
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Your odds of doing it, it's like a roll of the dice. So, you know, I think they had to do it. I think the Kirk Cousins time had sort of run its course. They weren't going to elevate beyond what they had been with him there. But it's sort of a scary place to be because you never, you know, you could get Zach Wilson out of this thing. And then you're set back another
right.
4 years.
You That's know, right. That's right.
If you draft Zach Wilson, then all of a sudden Justin Jefferson's out there going, what the heck, man?
Yeah.
Like, somebody throw me the ball. You know, your franchise is set back a couple years again. So. I guess in this day and age, you can just keep drafting quarterbacks until you find one. You know, that's basically what Arizona did with Kyler Murray after Josh Rosen. And maybe it's not the worst strategy, but, you know, it's tough to hit on that quarterback spot. So the pressure's on for them to do something and do it correctly in this draft.
Well, we'll see how that plays out tonight. And, AB, thanks so much as always, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. That's Andy Bitter. Good stuff and good questions, breaking down the offense and defense as he did. You can find his article, Tech Sideline. Go get a subscription to check out all of Andy's stuff. It's really, really in-depth and thought-provoking. And he writes with a lot of humor, too. Andy doesn't take himself too seriously. I'm sticking by that. The people in life who are the most successful are the ones who don't take themselves too seriously. We'll be back to wrap up Hour 2 when we come back.
This is Handsome Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogie Man, professional wrestler. I'm telling my people, listen to Big Dog Sports Talk, Rick Watson. Yeah, my buddy. Yeah. Woo, mercy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Vance. Tell my people, all my brothers and sisters, listen to Rick Watson. Yeah.
We got to get Boogie back in here. I don't know. I don't think he has enough energy. I've always said, you know, the one thing Jimmy Vaillant doesn't have is a lot of natural energy. great stuff. He's still, by the way, rocking his camp. K-State Rob goes down there on the weekends. He's a wrestler now. That's got to be fun for Rob. It's great. I love that. It's awesome. But in any event. Coming up in Hour 3, Dwight Vick at 8:35. It's interesting. I'm getting a lot more draft text questions than I thought I would get. I mean, it is what it is. I guess people follow these collegiate players through, and I guess, you know, Drake May coming out of North Carolina.
Sam Howell's now the Mike Vick of the ACC.
Well, no, that's not at all what I said. No, Neil. It's not what was said. We hope you're well wherever you might be. Final hour of the program on a Thursday. Coming up after this.